Dear God, our Father who is in heaven, God, we are so grateful you are our Father, and we know that you are holy, and we praise your name. God, we pray that your kingdom would come in our lives and our church, Father, to our friends, and that just your kingdom would spread and grow, Father, and we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we could do your will and be disciples of Jesus. Help us to have a great class this morning and a great worship service. We want it to be to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, our class this year is about the kingdom of God. And that is also our theme as a church, the kingdom of God. And you may have noticed since we announced that last Sunday, every message has been about the kingdom of God. So if you missed my class last week, it's on the website. I would urge you to go back and listen to it so we can all get the benefit of what we're going to talk about. I said these classes are going to kind of build on each other, so you want to keep up. The same thing with Steve's message last Sunday, which was about the kingdom of God. And then Kendall did a great message on Thursday about the kingdom of God. So we will be hearing a lot about the kingdom of God in the weeks ahead. Amen. And last week we talked about Jesus' vision for the kingdom. He told us, he encouraged us that that God is pleased to give us the kingdom, even though we're a little flock. And we're littler than we were last week because the teens aren't here this week. And because a lot of the campus guys are in Florida losing football games, I'm sorry to say. So you have to encourage them when they get back. Give them hugs. You know, they did their best. Somebody told me they saw them practicing this week, and it looked like they hadn't done enough of that yet. So anyway, it might have been a talent issue. You never know. Woody Hayes always says it was always about the talent. But that's why we're a little thinner today. But, you know, we are a city set on a hill. We are salt of the earth. We are light of the world. That's what Jesus said. That's his vision for us as the kingdom of God. And we want to be encouraged by that and be inspired by that. And that's the goal for this class. That's the goal for our theme, is to transform our church, to transform all of us more and more into the kingdom of God, so that we can, as I prayed, more and more do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? A couple of books I can suggest if you're into doing more. If you're not, don't worry about it. But if you're into doing more, a couple of good books by Tom Jones, who's a teacher in the church in Nashville. He used to be the publisher of DPI. He wrote a book called The Kingdom of God, Part 1. With another brother named Steve Brown, good name. And you could get that on IPI.com, or you could get it on Amazon. As you can see, it's not a big book. It's not expensive. And then they wrote, Tom Jones, The Kingdom of God, Part 2. And this is an entire book on the Sermon on the Mount. And it's great, and we will cover the Sermon on the Mount in detail in this class. Half of this book is just the Beatitudes. There's a chapter on every single Beatitude. And then there's the rest of the Sermon on the Mount in here. It's good. If by chance you've already read Tom Jones and you need another book, we have The Kingdom That Turned the World Upside Down. This is by David Berceau, B-E-R-C-O-T. David Berceau is probably best known among us for writing the book, Will the Real Heretics Please Stand Up? He's a friend of Douglas Jacoby. He helps teach AIM. He's not a member of the International Church of Christ, but he is a disciple of Jesus. He's a Mennonite. So he has a different perspective than some of us. So there's some things in here that really make you think. There are some things in there that will really make you think, but maybe this one more because he comes from a different point of view. But I've heard David Berceau in person. He's a very humble guy, very meek guy, but he says and writes some powerful things. He's done a lot of study on what the early Christians in the 2nd and 3rd century thought. And he quotes from them, you know, to support what it says in the Bible, because they were obviously closest to the time of Jesus. So, amen. That's some background if you want some more. Today I want to start with a question. Trivia question. How many times in the Gospels do you think Jesus used the word kingdom? Guess. What? 10? 810? 65. There's a real specific number. 20, 30, 72. Okay. 800 is a little high. 10 is a little low. Jesus used the word kingdom in the Bible approximately 100 times. 100 times. Now, some of those are repeats because, you know, Matthew, Mark, and John tell the same story. But still, he used that word a lot. And I think, and these guys would back me up in these books, that other than perhaps God the Father, Jesus talked more about the kingdom of God than anything else. He talked about the kingdom more than faith. He talked about the kingdom more than mercy. He even talked about the kingdom more than love. Jesus talked more than discipleship, more than some of our sort of favorite topics. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God all the time. You know, if you think about it, he used the word kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount a lot. That's what he was talking about. It's in his parables. It's in his teaching. He quoted Old Testament scriptures about the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God all the time. And that's why we're having this class. That's why it's the theme for our church this year, is we really want to absorb more than we ever have before Jesus' teaching about the kingdom, and more than just his teaching, but let it permeate our lives, let it permeate our church, and let us be the kingdom Jesus talked about more and more. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So that's why we're doing this. Okay. Now, what I want to focus on today is fairly simple. I want to define the kingdom of God. What's a simple definition that we can have about the kingdom of God? And of course, I want to use Jesus' definition of the kingdom of God. I want to help us to think about the kingdom of God the same way Jesus did. So when we say the kingdom, we are meaning what Jesus meant. And just another question. And this, you don't have to give a deep biblical answer here, but just when we use the kingdom right now, here in our church, when we just say the kingdom, what does that usually mean, just in the ordinary sense? What are we saying when we say the kingdom this or the kingdom that? The church, right? And somebody said the fellowship. Sometimes we might mean this church, or sometimes we might mean our brotherhood of churches, the International Churches of Christ. And that's just sort of the ordinary usage of that term, you know, the kingdom. You know, we talk about the children's ministry as kingdom kids, right? And we're sort of referring to our children's ministry, the kids who are here this morning as part of the kingdom. And that's not wrong. The church is part of the kingdom, I hope, and I hope we always stay that way. But the kingdom is more than that, and that's what we want to look at. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. First thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about what the kingdom of God is not. Okay? We're going to talk about what the kingdom of God is not, and then we're going to turn around and talk about what the kingdom of God is. And so that's my very simple class for today. Kingdom of God is not, and the kingdom of God is. And we're only going to look at two scriptures. And the first scripture is Matthew 11, verse 12. Paul, can you just say that out real loud for us all? Yes.
Okay, sorry. I'm not used to being called out.
Sorry.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing to forceful men by
force. Amen. Oops, I shouldn't say amen. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, right? How many people have heard this verse before? Amen. How many people have heard sermons on this verse before? Okay, how many people have been told the kingdom of God forcefully advances? And we forcefully enter it. And this is not in the Bible. Okay. Now, you might think it's in the Bible, and you might be looking at an NIV that has it in the Bible, but it's not really in the Bible. The NIV made a boo-boo, and the NIV did not translate this verse very well. Okay? And so the first thing we need to do is sort of, as Yoda once told Luke, we have to unlearn what we have learned. Okay? So, there you go. So, and I'll show you the right translation in a moment, but, you know, we just need to kind of do a full memory wipe. Jesus did not say the kingdom of God forcefully advances and that we should forcefully enter it, so you just got to go, you know. Matthew did not write that down. It was just a boo-boo by the translators of the NIV. We all make boo-boos from time to time. I know I do. And you can, in your Bible, if you have an NIV that reads this way, you can write a line through it just like this. It's okay. And then we can write down the correct translation, okay? Now, this is the ESV, which I put in large red letters. Jeff, can you read that for us? Really loud. Okay, reads a little differently, right? Okay, this verse is about the kingdom of God suffering persecution. And if you were to go to BibleGateway.com and you were to put this verse in, and you were to look at every translation available there in English, you would see every translation reads this way, except for the original NIV. And you would also discover, if you went to NIV.com, that the NIV has now changed to this translation, that they have realized their mistake. And modern, you know, if you go and buy a brand new NIV, now sometimes you buy a new NIV, it's still the old one. But if you go and buy an NIV published more recently, a more recent edition, it will read this way. So this is how the verse should really meant. This is what Jesus said. He didn't speak English, but this is what Jesus said. And so we want to think about it this way. You know, Jesus is talking about the violence suffered by the kingdom of God. He's talking about persecution. If you read the passage in context, that's what it's talking about. John the Baptist has been arrested by Herod. John the Baptist will ultimately be executed by Herod. Jesus himself will ultimately be executed by the authorities in Jerusalem. That's what the verse is talking about. It's talking about the outside violence that the kingdom of God suffers. Jesus talks about, you know, people criticized John for one reason and criticized him for another reason. That's the context of the passage. So it's not talking about us, as we will see, and we all know from the Sermon on the Mount, we are not to be forcefully advancing the kingdom. We are to be meek. You know, we are to be patient and kind. You know, now, we are to be bold in proclaiming the kingdom. We are to be courageous, especially if we were to face persecution. So that there are good qualities we are supposed to be, but you know, being forceful or violent or super aggressive, that's not what the Bible is teaching that we as the kingdom of God should be. Amen? Amen. Just wanted to clear that up. So, how would we define the kingdom of God? Or as I said, how would Jesus define it? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Whoa. There we go. Ben, can I get you to read that one real loud? Okay, this is obviously part of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And as part of that prayer, he says that we should pray for the kingdom to come and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So for those of us who have the other verse in our minds, you know, and I just said to erase it, you can replace it with this one. You can think the kingdom of God is something that comes. Okay, it comes. We Jesus and his disciples prayed for it to come, and we can still pray for it today to come. And you think about it, came in your life. You know, think about how the kingdom of God came into your life. You became, you know, you went to church one day and you're, wow, this church is different. You know, the kingdom of God began to influence your life, had an effect on your life. And you think about how the kingdom of God came to you and changed your life, transformed your life. That's what the kingdom of God does. It comes and it grows and it spreads. And you think about the perils of Jesus. What are some of the growing things that Jesus in his parables compares the kingdom of God to? Well, a pearl grows, but what else? Seed, a mustard seed, tiny little seed, grows to a big tree. What else? Fruit? Wheat? Yeah, he talks about things that grow. He talks about things that grow, and that's what the kingdom of God does. It grows. It grows. It comes into our lives, you know. Seeds are planted in our hearts, in our minds, and they begin to grow. They begin to take root. It's not violent. I mean, it can rattle your world a little bit sometimes, but it's growing. It's steady. It's inexorable. You know, that's what the kingdom of God does. It has influence on us. It changes us, and it changes other people around us. Amen? So the kingdom of God comes. Those of us who are disciples know that. We've experienced that in our lives. And those of us who have helped other people become disciples, we've seen that happen in their lives, right? The kingdom of God comes to other people, and we see their lives change. You know, maybe it's happened to a family member, and that's real exciting when you see someone in your family. You know, our children, we saw the kingdom of God come in their lives. And those were great days when they decided to follow Jesus. You know, and we've had that experience with friends, with loved ones, with people we work with, our neighbors, and seeing the kingdom of God come into their lives and change their lives. And that's what Jesus is calling us to pray for more and more. That the kingdom of God will come more in our lives and the lives of people around us. The kingdom of God comes. Now, where the second part of the verse says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, for the scholars in the room, this is a Hebrew parallelism. And what that means is Jesus said the same thing twice in different words. There are many examples of this in the Old Testament. Most of us are familiar with the last verse of Isaiah 40, which says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. You know, the prophet there sort of says the same thing twice in different words. And that's what Jesus is doing. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When your kingdom comes, when the kingdom of God comes into somebody's life, that's when they start doing his will. You know, and we know that from our own lives. That's when they start doing his will. The kingdom, and then where does the kingdom come? It comes on earth, as it is in heaven. So Jesus is telling us when the kingdom of God comes in our lives, when we put the kingdom of God on earth, is the place where God's will is being done. So this is our definition of the kingdom. It's the place where God's will is being done on earth. And Jesus told us to pray for that. You know, if you think about it, you don't have to pray for the kingdom of God to come in heaven. It's already there, right? The angels obey God. They do it, you know. Gabriel, Michael, and all those guys, they do God's will. And when angels in heaven didn't do God's will, what happened? They got the boot, right? They got the boot. So in heaven, God's will is done. But on earth, no, God's will is not done. Those booted guys are down here influencing people to do the wrong thing. And so that's what we have to pray for. We have to pray for the kingdom of God to come on earth, for the kingdom of God to come more and more on earth, and that we would do God's will, and that more and more other people would do God's will. And that's how the kingdom of God grows on earth, right? When more and more people decide to do God's will, just like it's done in heaven. You know, you think about, again, when you became a disciple, you know, what you did and what I did. We made Jesus Lord, right? We said that when we got baptized. We said, Jesus is Lord. And we are recognizing Him as our King. Jesus is our King. That's what we decide when we get baptized, when we decide to become a Christian, when we decide to become a follower of Jesus. We are making Him our King, acknowledging that He's the King, He's the Lord, He's the one that we are supposed to follow, that we are supposed to obey, and that we are becoming a part of His kingdom, under His reign. And that's what the kingdom of God is. And our church is an outpost of the kingdom of God. You know, and when we say the church is the kingdom, yes, that's right. But what we're saying is not just, oh, that's the church, like we would, other people would use that word in an ordinary sense of just a place where people go to worship on Sunday and blah. But it's a place where a group of people have committed to doing the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom of God. And we, the group in this room, we're an outpost of that. You know, we're an outpost, a colony. You know, a settlement of the kingdom of God on earth, where we are doing God's will as best we can. Not perfectly, of course, but we are trying to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And everything we do as disciples, it's an outpost of the kingdom of God. So you think about when your family group or your Bible talk has a meeting, that's a little outpost to the kingdom of God, getting together to try to do God's will together. You know, it's an out. When you go to a family group, I'm going to the family group luncheon. No, you're going to a little gathering of the kingdom of God, where God's will is going to be done. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to encourage the visitors that are there. You know, it's a place where God's will can be done. You know, when we go to help the poor, it's the same thing. We are going to be like Jesus. We are going to be the kingdom of God there. The singles did it yesterday. Go to help the poor, help feed the homeless. We're being an outpost of the kingdom of God. You know, the people who are ushering on Sunday, they are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. You know, greeting people who are coming in and making sure things run orderly in the worship service. You know, it's an outpost of the kingdom of God. Amen. On the music ministry, you know, they're helping us praise the King. You know, they get together for rehearsals on Saturday. They are a little outpost of the kingdom of God, helping us praise the kingdom of God. The children's ministry over there, it is kingdom kids. You know, every classroom is a little outpost of the kingdom of God, where disciples are in there trying to show the kingdom to the children, give them a vision of the kingdom. Scott was telling me his son, 10 years old, wants to be a disciple. You know, he was asking me, how soon can he get baptized? And, well, it might be 10-year-olds, might be a little young. You know, that's what we are trying to do. And all that we do for God is we are part of the kingdom of God. Amen? See, and that's what this slide shows, right? It shows the kingdom of God breaking in to Atlanta. You know, there's Atlanta, but then there's the kingdom of God, the castle that, you know, represents God's kingdom. You know, sort of breaking into the picture. And most of the people walking around Atlanta, they can't see that. You know, it's kind of, you know, invisible to them, or they're blinded, like the Bible says. They can't see that, but we can see it. And we know that it's there. It's in our lives. You know, we gather together and we can see it in each other, in our collective worship and our fellowship. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to show that to more and more people. To open their eyes too, using the Bible and the Holy Spirit at work. And that's what happens. More and more people see the kingdom of God And then people get inspired and decide to become disciples so that they too can start doing the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we're moving right along here. Well, amen. I think when we define the kingdom of God, this is the simplest definition from the Bible. The kingdom of God is something that comes into our lives, spreads, grows, takes root. That's what it does. And then, as a result of that, the kingdom of God, we become the people who are doing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. That's our commitment as disciples. Now, we're not perfect. And that, you know, it's the grace of God that brings us into the kingdom, Jesus dying on a cross for us. You know, it's all His work. It's, you know, He's the one that gives us these things to do, like we talked about last week. You know, the fine linen, the righteous deeds, that, you know, God gives us those things to do. They're the things that He gives us by His grace. So it's all part of His grace. But to define the kingdom, that's what it is. You know, it's the community of people who are doing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And we're a little piece of that. There are other pieces of that around the city and around the world. And when we pray your kingdom come, we're praying for them too. You know, like we do every Thursday, we pray for another church around the southeast. You know, we're praying for the kingdom to come in that church and in that city too. You know, and we sent money to Africa this year, and we've done that for several years to help the kingdom there grow, to help the kingdom there come to more and more people. We sent some money to help move the cadets to Haiti so that they could lead the church there and help the church grow and come to more and more people in Haiti as well. Amen. So that's what we are about. We are trying to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And that's when we say kingdom of God, that's what we're saying to each other. You know, we're saying that we're encouraging each other. We're reminding each other. You know, we are the people who do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. That's who we are. You know, we're encouraging each other. We're part of the kingdom of God. Right. Now, as Steve talked about last week, the kingdom of God is eternal. It's always been there in heaven. And one day, you know, it will come to earth and in its fullest form and be visible to everyone, right? But in the meantime, you know, we just have these little outposts that Jesus started and prayed for and told us to pray for and then helped show us how to live. The light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city set on a hill. And that's what we are, the kingdom of God on earth, doing His will. Okay. And Jesus taught us to pray this. This is part of a prayer. He said we should pray this prayer. And we should live this way, but we should pray this prayer. Pray for God's kingdom to come, for His will to be done. I've been praying this prayer now for several months. I know the leaders, the elders, the staff, our wives, we've been praying this prayer for weeks. Last Saturday at the workshop with all the leaders in the church, the deacons, the family group leaders, the shepherding couples, we asked everyone to start praying this prayer regularly. Praying this prayer regularly for our church, for our, you know, our family groups, of, you know, for anything we're doing for the church, like being a deacon or in the children's ministry, or being an usher, is what I meant, or being in the children's ministry. We've been just praying, asking our leaders to pray for that too. And so today, surprise, I'm going to ask us all to be praying this prayer. You know, praying this prayer together, that God's kingdom would come more and more. And that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, to help us to do that and to help other people. And you can pray this prayer for groups, like for the whole church. You can pray it for your family group, your Bible talk. You can pray it for people that you want God's kingdom to come to. You know, people you're reaching out to, family members, coworkers, neighbors, friends, you know, strangers you meet and start talking to. You can be praying for the kingdom of God to come to them too. So we can pray this prayer in a lot of different ways. But it will, I believe that God will answer this prayer in a powerful way, and that He will transform our church because we are praying this prayer, because we are studying the Bible about the kingdom, and because we're all going to be committed to letting it come in our lives more and more. And I believe His Spirit will work and He'll transform our church. Now, I know we have challenges. I know we don't have a lead ministry couple right now, and we are looking. I know we just learned the sad news this week that the Beckers are leaving, so that's another obstacle. But I believe God can overcome all of those things. I believe that the kingdom of God can grow and spread, even in a time of challenge and transition like the one we're facing right now. And then we can do the will of God. We can see it done in our lives and other people's lives, no matter what we're facing. Now, I'm hoping this period of transition will be over soon, right? I'm hoping that we can fill our ministry positions and get through the period of transition very soon. But I don't really know whether it will be soon or whether it might take a little longer. And so, but in the meantime, I have faith in God.
Amen.
That if we are praying this prayer and we are studying about the kingdom of God, it's going to have effect in our lives. And we're going to see good things happen. We've seen people baptized over the past few months, and we're going to see more people. We're going to continue to see the kingdom grow in our lives and in the lives of other people. Amen? Okay, so what should we do last? if we could all stand, we are going to pray this prayer together. If y'all will pray with me. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you were dismissed a little early today, but so go ahead and get your kids, and we will have church. And just